from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 268, recorded live Thursday, May 26th, 2011. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott is interviewed by Ray Bango about his personal systems of organization.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today, we're turning the tables a little bit. I've got my buddy Ray Bango from the jQuery team in Microsoft on the call here, and he's going to interview me because I wanted something to share, and I needed a foil to help me do it. How's it going, Ray?
I'm good. It's going good. So, Scott, you know, there's one question that is always kind of you're a bit of an enigma in this sense, because you work remotely, obviously, but you get so much done. You're involved in a lot of different projects, and a lot of the projects are very high profile and definitely high importance. And so I think one of the things that I'd love to know about is what are your personal systems of organization? How do you keep track of all the things that are going on in your life? How do you keep things organized? How do you manage all these different projects that are going on?
Cool. That is, in fact, the question I wanted you to ask. What a coincidence. And I'm also interested in how you do it as well, because I'm always talking to people, I'm always interviewing people, and I'm always even talking to strangers. If I meet somebody on a plane, I want to know, well, gosh, you seem organized. How are you doing that? You know, sometimes it's a to-do.txt on their desktop, which is a good system. Sometimes I see them in OneNote or Evernote. My system's always changing. I actually had the idea for doing a show like this and talking about it because I was looking at a blog post that I did in September of 2005. So this is over almost six years ago. And the blog post was called Personal Systems of Organization. And it was basically, some people at a conference I was at noticed that I was writing some stuff down, and they were teasing me because, I wasn't using a Palm Pilot or whatever we were using in 2005. I was writing stuff down, and I call it syncing to paper. For me, I'm finding that the more chaotic my life gets, the more unorganized my life gets, I always seem to turn to a piece of paper for that kind of kinesthetic feel, that sense of actually pushing ink around and reminding myself of what's important. So while I have a number of digital formats, I use OneNote. I recently switched from Evernote, and I'll talk about that. More and more, when it comes down to getting my day done, I use a piece of paper, and I'll carry it around. And I use what's called a Moleskine. It's spelled Moleskine, M-O-L-E-S-K-I-N-E, but it's pronounced Moleskine, I believe. I've got a little one and a big one. A little one goes in my back pocket with a space pen. You know about the space pen?
No, I'm not familiar with the space pen. Tell me about
it. Oh, my friend. So the space pen. So the joke is that NASA went and created this amazing pressurized pen. It's called the Fisher Space Pen, and it's about the size of your middle finger. And when you open it up, it actually doubles in size and becomes a normal pen size. And it's filled with a pressurized container, like a CO2 gas, that makes the contents under pressure such that you can write underwater, you can write upside down, you can write on oil. It's an amazing, perfect pen. And it was like $40 million worth of, thing in order for us to write in space. It's called a space pen. And what do the Russians do? They use a pencil.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. They broke it down and just went back to simple.
Yeah, so that's the classic. But I love my space pen. It's the best little pen. And what's great about it is that it's tiny. Like I say, it's about the size of your middle finger. So the space pen and the Moleskine are in my pocket. And that's the I just had an idea, because I think, I don't know about you, and I'm interested in your opinion as well, the most important aspect of keeping organized is being able to take whatever you're doing at the time and things that come up, and if something comes up, capture it. Because I think that there's the getting things done aspect of personal systems organization, but then there's the capturing stuff as it happens. Like,
that's a great point, yeah.
Like, what if my wife called me right now? Get milk. Where are you going to put that right now? Your wife calls in the middle of our show and says, get milk. What do you do, Ray?
So what I do is I open up my Windows Phone 7, of course, And I use an application called Notesly, and it's great for that because I can just whip it out and say, I'm going to type in my to-do list, and I just cross them off as I go. And it's funny you mentioned that. My wife, who uses a BlackBerry at the moment, has become totally addicted to BlackBerry's Task Manager for managing her life. A lot of the things that you're mentioning to me really resonate with the way that she handles some of the things that she has in her life as well. She's very busy with her job, so if she doesn't keep things very organized and very task-driven, it's tough for her to keep track of, obviously, her job, obviously, the family life, and especially the baby. For me, I definitely like to have pen and paper. I like to have, like, a pad sitting on my desk that says, these are the tasks that I need to accomplish today, and I scratch them off. And some people might think that I'm a little bit old school on that, but I just find that having that pen and paper makes things substantially easier for me. And I complement that with Outlook's task management capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find pen and paper to be a better organizational method for me.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. There's something about it. Now, of course, the number one thing in any personal system of organization is you have to trust it and you have to be happy with it. So don't necessarily take someone else's. Like if I've got a good system and you're listening to the show, or Ray's got a good system, don't take it and enforce it. If it doesn't feel right, then pick another system. But
and GTD was that for me as well, by the way. I actually read the GTD book and tried to implement it. It just didn't work for me. It didn't feel natural. And so I've had to kind of build a hybrid of different systems that make it effective for me.
Right. GTD, of course, being David Allen's Getting Things Done book. So the first step of a personal system of organization is being able to capture things that happen. So always have something on your person, whether it be a phone or whether it be a piece of paper or whatever. Always have a pen, always have a paper, always have a phone. Something to do, if you have an idea, that whole kind of, I just woke up and I had a dream and I want to write it down. Or I was in the shower and I solved this coding problem. So, so important. Now, from that point, I break things up into short-term, like extremely short-term, like what am I going to do in the next few days? Short-term, like a week to a month from now. And then long-term, like what am I doing for the next year? For me, I like to have this, I'd like to visualize myself moving through time, moving through the course of a year. Like, I don't know how, like, it's kind of hard to explain, but I've always have a very conscious sense of where I am within the calendar year. Does that make sense? Like, I think about it as like a giant progress bar. Like, I know that we're in May right now and entering June. So I have this sense of us in the center, slightly to the left of this progression that is the year. You know what I mean?
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely.
And so then I want to know, like, well, where am I going to be when I'm kind of about here and kind of about there and kind of about there? Everyone needs to have a conscious awareness about how their mind naturally thinks and wants to think, and then you make your system work for that. Like, for example, using that sense of movement through time that really helps me. I don't like digital watches because they only tell me where I'm at right now. And there's no way to look at a digital watch and know, like, what 3 o'clock would feel like, or that sense of distance between 1:30 and 3 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's pretty far out there, Scott. I never gave it that much thought, but that's actually pretty interesting.
It is a little kind of, everyone's that's like, okay, now Scott's going to do yoga on a podcast. But in all seriousness, there's two interesting things there, I think. First is a conscious awareness of how I think about time and how time moves. And I like to look at the clock, the analog clock, and say, okay, it's like, you know, right now it's about 9:30. And I have a sense of the amount of space, the amount of time between now and noon. And then I chop that time up. And I like to use the Pomodoro system. Are you familiar with the Pomodoro system?
I've never heard of the Pomodoro system.
So Pomodoro, if I understand correctly, is like Italian for tomato. And a Pomodoro system, if you go up and search for it, you can get the free book. There's this tomato timer. It's like an egg timer. It's just shaped like a tomato. And they use it in Italy and around Europe. And you set it for 25 minutes. So think of a Pomodoro as a unit of time, like like a minute or a second or a Pomodoro. So a Pomodoro is 25 minutes. And then think about your tasks and how many Pomodoros it will take to do your task. So, for example, you know, when we get off the, let me look at my list here. When we get off the call here, I have to go and do some work in Embraco on the ASP.NET website, right? And it's probably going to take me about an hour. So I'm going to say that's two Pomodoros. What's significant about a Pomodoro is that they are atomic, meaning that the goal of a Pomodoro and the goal of focusing for 25 minutes is just that. It is to focus. Can you sit down, mute this, and shut down Outlook and do everything, you know, shut everything off, and only do one thing, sprint for 25 minutes without interrupting yourself? That's the idea of the system. And then when you're done, you say, all right, well, I've just achieved one Pomodoro's worth of work. And what's significant about that is it's 25 minutes, then you have 5 minutes for a break, it's a half an hour now, and then you do another one. And the funny thing is, and everyone should try this, challenge yourself to do one task for 25 minutes without any internal or external interruptions. And the goal of the system is to identify what are the internal interruptions. That means where you literally interrupted yourself. And what are the external interruptions? So external interruptions are like knock on the door, phone call, some toast that pops up on your screen. I call that toast, you know, the Messenger toast and Skype toast and Twitter toast and Outlook toast.
Sure.
Those can be external interruptions. Those can be maintained and managed. And the Pomodoro system tries to teach you awareness of time and how you move through it. So if you sit down for 25 minutes to work on the ASP.NET website.
Yeah, let's take a step back because you made a great point. I mean, how do you,
okay.
I think a lot of people would love to know how what's the best way to manage these external type of distractions, these things, these pieces of toast that pop up. Mm-hmm. Is it just a simple matter of saying, hey, let's turn off IM during these 25-minute sprints that we're doing? Or is there a better way of handling it so that, let's say, coworkers aren't put off if you don't respond to them in a certain amount of time?
Look, that's a good question. That's a good question. So there's two things, and it is philosophy before it is in practice. First, do this for several days and write down that an interruption occurred, because you can't change something unless you measure it, right? You can't change yourself unless you're aware of a problem. So what you do is you just, there's actually a form you can print out and do this. You just put it next to your desk. And every time an interruption happens, you just put a little tick mark and you say, I tried to work on the ASP.NET website for one Pomodoro and I was interrupted externally 7 times. And then you do this for a couple of days and you look at that and you kind of do a little analysis and you say, wow, I'm getting interrupted on average, you know, 10 times every half an hour. And remember that interruptions in a computer system slow down processing. I mean, we're doing an interruption. It's like, stop, listen to me. I'm IO. I'm more important than actual work. First, recognize them, and then think about what you're going to do about them. So toast interruptions are easy. You know, do not disturb, shut down Outlook, shut down Twitter, shut down whatever. What's great about an idea like a Pomodoro is it's only 25 minutes. You know, you surely can go 25 minutes without, like, checking your email, right? And if you can't, then you definitely have a problem, or you're a brain surgeon or something. So I actually schedule meetings with myself. And then I shut everything off, I mute everything, and I do my sprint.
That I like that a lot. I haven't thought about that that technique of scheduling meetings and blocking off that space so that people understand that this is time that's being consumed at the moment. Please don't mm-hmm. interrupt. That's actually
right.
A very good idea.
So those are external interruptions. Those are recognizing and setting up external interruptions. Just as if you were managing a project, Pomodoro technique is almost like a mini scrum, right? Where your scrums are 25 minutes long instead of 2 weeks, and there's only one person. So it's like, imagine yourself, you're sitting down at your desk, you're like, all right, here we go, let's do it. You turn the timer on, you have the awareness of time, and they actually prefer timers that, like, tick. And you can even find applications. I bet you if you look in the Windows Phone 7 works, a marketplace, and I know there's lots on iPhone, I bet you that you could find a Pomodoro timer that is focused on this system of organization. And oftentimes there's a ability to make those things click so that you're aware of the passage of time. So those are external interruptions. Next are internal interruptions. And I like to think of internal interruptions as my left thumb and my left middle finger, because those are the fingers that push Alt Tab without me thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, an internal interruption is I'm in Word and I'm really rocking, and then suddenly my middle finger and my thumb Alt Tab me over to Twitter. And I'm like, what was that? Who, what, what beast took over my hand and decided that we needed to look at Twitter right now? That's an internal interruption. An internal interruption could be that. It could be you're really focused, you're writing your book, and then suddenly your brain is like, what's on TV tonight? And
those are
first,
hard to control. I mean,
it's a hard problem. Hi, this is Scott coming to you from another place in time. Are you using agile practices to manage your software development? There's lots of tools in the market that manage the steps of a project, but most of them focus on individual roles. Get ready for a solution that caters for the success of the whole team. The guys at Telerik introduced TeamPulse. It's an agile project management tool that'll help you gather ideas, estimate, plan, track progress in a common workspace. Finally, companies, regardless of their size, can use a lightweight and convenient tool that makes all the stakeholders work as a united team, even if they're in different countries. By combining intuitive user interface and the power of Silverlight, TeamPulse removes the roadblocks that you typically face in applying Agile in an effective manner. No more lost data, no disparate systems, no lack of critical analytics regarding the health and velocity of your project. See for yourself. Get a free copy for 5 users and 1 project at Telerik.com/TeamPulse. And please do thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TELERIK, Telerik. We do appreciate it. There wouldn't be a Hansel Minutes if there wasn't Telerik helping us.
Some of it, I feel like it's almost muscle memory, and the Yelp app is such a great analogy to that. It's and I find myself doing that as well, and it's the Yelp app saying, hey, I haven't checked Twitter in the last 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Let me check to see what's going on. So I definitely get that. The internal ones are definitely more difficult to control. So how would you manage that?
So the with all things, recognize it and then take action. So to notice that you're doing that is step one, right? Knowing is half the battle, as G.I. Joe always said. Once you write this stuff down, literally read the Pomodoro Technique book, write down that, wow, you know, sure, I'm getting interrupted externally 10 times every half an hour, but you might find you're literally interrupting yourself every minute. And people have found this, even interrupting themselves as often as a couple of times a minute. I mean, think about what kind of CPU could really achieve any work at all if it's getting interrupted so often. And you have to ask yourself, I've just interrupted myself. I want to go over to Twitter, but is that moving the ball forward? Because I find that the Pomodoro system helps me deal with that sense of guilt that I think we all feel. I mean, maybe it's just me and maybe it's just you and me, but don't you ever have that sense where you sit down and it's 9 o'clock and you're ready to attack the day and you know you've got 3 things to get done today and then boom, it's 11:30. Well, you might as well go to lunch. You really haven't done anything. Then you come back. It's 2. Okay. Now you're really, okay. Oh, 4 o'clock. Okay. I'll work late. It'll get done. And then I'll put the kids down and then I'll work until 2 in the morning and then I get stuff done. And then you have that sense of guilt. That sense that I really got nothing done, and I have absolutely no one to blame but myself today.
I think a lot of people relate to that. Definitely.
Tell me, I'm not. Please, Ray, tell me I'm not the only person that feels like that.
Oh, of course not, Scott. I mean, it's I've been through that, so you're definitely not alone. And I would bank that 90% of the people that will listen to this will say, "God, I've been in that position."
Yeah. Well, I want to bring that kind of out in the open because that kind of I've accomplished nothing. You've let yourself down. And then what happens is, and this is where we get into dangerous situations, you start to get angry, you start to get frustrated, you start to think I'm not good enough, and you get into self-loathing and all that kind of stuff because you burned a day, right? First, everyone burns a day. Where you want to deal with it is if you're burning every day. You know what I mean? And I find that setting a sense of what's a reasonable amount of work I can get done? You know how when we do scrums, if you've ever done scrum or agile, no one says that a programmer has 8 really productive hours in a day, right? The assumption when we do scrum, planning is that you have between 5 and 6 productive hours in a day. You know, they gotta factor in the bathroom and go into McDonald's or whatever, right? But you've got 5 to 6 hours of productive time. So why not say, I'm going to accomplish 12 Pomodoros worth of work. That's 12 25-minute things with breaks in my day. And even if you have to schedule email as one of those things. And then make little sprints. And you would be surprised at how much more productive that you feel.
That's actually a really good idea. I haven't tried that. I'm actually going to give that a shot. I'd like to learn a little bit more about the system because it sounds like it's easier to manage. They've always said it's easier to manage smaller compartments of anything than it is trying to tackle a massive project all in one shot. So
right.
Compartmentalizing your daily schedule makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Right. So there's literally four different systems that I use, and I realize that everyone has a system and like everyone's selling something, right? But there's Stephen Covey in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks about quadrants. Basically, his system is all about categorizing what's important and what's urgent, what is both important and urgent, what is neither urgent nor important, like trivial work, like Twitter, what is urgent, but not really that important, and what is important, but not urgent. And he tells you, he separates them in quadrants and says you should work on things that are important, but not urgent, like project work. Those things move the world forward. That's called the quadrant of leadership. So Covey helps me categorize time. Getting things done basically says have a trusted system. Take everything in your life from I need to get a guy to paint the house, which is something I need to do, to I have to do something at work, and put everything in a trusted system. A trusted system could be OneNote or Evernote or Outlook or OmniGiraffe or whatever tool you like. It could be a piece of paper. But you have to literally empty your brain of all things that could potentially cause you psychic weight. Like literally, well, how can I work on this book or this blog post if I'm thinking that I really got to call this guy about the paint in the house? If I put it into a trusted system, then I can release it to the world. I don't have to think about it. So Covey for categorization, David Allen and Getting Things Done helps me think about things like releasing things to the world. Then Pomodoro for actual sprints. And then the fourth system actually is a buddy of mine named J.D. Meyer, who actually works at Microsoft. And he has a thing on his website called Agile Results. And basically, he takes the Agile system of organization and applies it to yourself. I think his website is gettingresults.com. It's a free book that you can download. It's really cool. And what he says is that you should split up the things that you need to do into three things. That's basically like every day. Remember when I was your manager, we did this. Do you remember this?
Kind of, yeah.
Remember the three things we would send out in the beginning of the week and then the end of the week?
Exactly. And that was so helpful.
So the idea is you write down three things you want to accomplish at the beginning of the day. You write down, you say, okay, if nothing else happens today, these are the three things I need to do. And then you do them at the granularity of, you know, here are three things I could actually accomplish today. Then you have three things that would be nice if I got done, and then three things that probably won't get done. And then you do that on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and on a monthly basis, and go from there. And I keep those in OneNote. I have a list of the things that I really want to get done today, and what would make me feel successful if I got those things done. And that's the most important thing, because the opposite of that feeling of guilt and, you know, self-destruction and I'm getting nothing done is, wow, today was actually a pretty good day. You know, I got those things done, those three things I said I was going to do. And he recommends that you have a planning session up for yourself, basically in the morning on Monday. And then on Friday, you reflect on the week. And this is something I don't think people do. They don't look back on their week and say, did I get that stuff done? You know what I mean? They just kind of like, they have their Friday and they just leave. And both Getting Things Done and Getting Results think that there's importance of reflection of on Fridays.
One of the good things that when you asked the team to start doing those three bullet points every Monday was that you also reminded us to kind of look back at what you had talked about accomplishing during that week and also analyzing what you accomplished, what was the net effect of that, and also why you weren't able to accomplish something. And you know, it didn't mean that you were going to get in trouble for not accomplishing it something. It just meant what was the reason that you weren't able to, And sometimes there were actually very good reasons, and sometimes it was just, you just didn't get around to it. So right. it was a really good exercise, and I actually carry that forward now.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad that it still sticks around. We've actually started using it a little bit on the new group that I'm on in web platform. And again, that's all at gettingresults.com. It's all free. Or if you want, you can buy the book and get the dead tree. He calls it the rule of three. Three outcomes for the day, three outcomes for the week. And you have a vision for your week. He calls it Monday vision, Friday reflection. So you say, here's the things I'm going to get done. And then on Friday, you reflect on it. You say, well, here's three things that I think are going well. And here's how I think I'm going to improve. So what I tried to do as a manager was, collect the three things that all of you guys, I think there were five or six guys plus myself, here that we all have three things we want to get done. What can I as a manager do to get something out of your way? All right. My job is to make you successful. So I look at your vision for the week and I think about what can I do. And then at the end of the week, I would have everyone send out just three bullets. And this is really important to point out. I wasn't asking for like a weekly report of like pros and photographs and here's all the stuff that we did this week. I just want to know what's going well and what's not and how can I help fix whatever's wrong.
Yep. And that was actually a great thing. It really just helped put your work week in perspective. And again, I never felt pressure that this was an end of week report. I felt like this was a tool that was going to allow me to better organize what I was going to accomplish in the week. And with so many things moving, there's just so many moving targets at Microsoft. You need to have that system in place. You need to understand what are your goals and how are you going to reach those specific goals. So I think jotting down these specific tasks, and especially tasks that were very strategic to your specific role within Microsoft, was a tremendous benefit.
Yeah. One of the other things that JD talks about, and I think I should probably get him on the show to say it better than I can, but he has boundaries. People are always asking about, well, how do you have like work-life balance? He calls them hotspots, and he says you should set boundaries. So, for example, like your body, are you working out a minimum of like, say, 3 hours a week? You should set mins and maxes. Like he suggests, for example, a minimum of 3 hours a week spent on your body working out or stretching or whatever. Maximum of 50 hours on career. He like makes a conscious thing, like I will not work more than 50 hours a week, doesn't matter what it is, because I know that anything over that will cause me pain and trouble and bad stuff. Minimum of 8 hours on relationships. He's, you know, that could be, date night or two date nights a week or whatever, you know. And by setting those mins and maxes, you're kind of like adjusting these progress bars on your life. And you want to find that sweet spot where if these boundaries are maintained and I'm not overtaxing myself on career or on relationships or on whatever, then you get to feel good about everything. And the whole goal of all these kind of systems kind of synthesized together is just to not feel lousy about yourself. Cause that's my biggest problem. I always feel like a failure if I, you know, worked 55 hours that week or whatever and didn't work out at all last week. And if I can put together a system that will assist me in not feeling lousy about myself, then that's a good system of organization.
How does the fact that you travel quite a bit affect your ability to stay very organized?
Well, when I travel, like for example, I was in Atlanta last week, and first I made sure that everything at the house and everything that the wife and kids needed was done. So that might mean, you know, I'm leaving leaky faucets, alarm system, you know, cameras, all the different things around the house. Batteries are charged, iPads work, kids have what they need for school. Is there anything that I can do up front before I go that's going to make their lives easier? I do that first. And then for me, I always, as I'm going out the door, I print out, a piece of paper that actually shows where I'm supposed to be. So it's really important for me to kind of be aware, where am I supposed to be and remove any potential, areas of difficulty, whether it be, you know, finding buses or trams or getting off the plane, making sure that, you know, all that stuff. I can't be stressing about that kind of stuff when I'm traveling. I travel to get the job done and then come back. I don't like to dilly-dally. You know what I mean?
Right. For me, when I travel, one of the things that I feel most comfortable with is having a certain level of redundancy in the things that I need to accomplish. So I do print out a lot of stuff. I'll print out my whole itinerary. I'll print out a whole conference schedule. I'll highlight specific key things that I want to attend. But in addition to that, I make sure that on my phone I have everything that I want to accomplish, because I need to have that handy. I don't want to be reaching for a piece of paper constantly. I want to be able to immediately have access to what I need to do. And of course, filling in my calendar with key parts, key mm-hmm. things that I need to attend, is, to me, it's invaluable. Without it, I just could not function the way I needed to when I'm traveling. It's just, you're away from home, you don't have all your tools, and yep. you need to leverage every bit of functionality you have. And so that's one of the things that I do. I will fill my phone up with a ton of information. And the other part is that I don't necessarily depend on the cloud. I think a lot of people have become very, very used to putting everything into the cloud. Mm-hmm. But if your cell phone doesn't work for some reason, you may not have cell phone reception. You're kind of out of luck at that point. So that's why I like to have the redundancy of having something stored locally. And I like to have a print copy of it. I like to have very, very set schedules. So it just gives me that reassurance that things are going to go the way I need them to go.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, one of a silly little tip that I came up with on my own last week was, you know, those, the airport, they let you check in now with an electronic barcode.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you a link in your email, you click on it, and then they send you to a QR code, and then suddenly you can, you know, hold your phone over the scanner and, you know, check in. Well, that only works if you have a good connection. So I started taking screenshots with the phone. So when I go up to the gate to check in, I'm not actually visiting the website and fumbling around. I've actually showing them a photograph of the browser when I did have connectivity.
That's great. That is perfect. I mean, that's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. And then actually, Scott Kate, a friend of mine, carries a camera around and takes pictures of everything, takes pictures of his receipts, where he parked his car, what floor he's on, and you know, in the hotel. I mean, anything that he could potentially get wrong or forget, he takes a picture of, which I think is a really great idea. Every receipt, anything he could lose, he takes a picture of. I've been doing that lately with my phone.
Everything moves so fast, Scott, and that if you don't take the time to do these things, there's just no way for you to manage all the different aspects of your life. It's just not there. So I think the ideas that you've talked about are, you know, they're just fantastic. I'm definitely going to start looking at how I can apply some of those things to my work life, and as well as trying to balance out my family life too.
I'm glad. It's a little unorganized and it's always being changed, but I think the real takeaway is, if we can help somebody, is have some kind of plan. You know, it doesn't have to be gettingresults.com. It doesn't have to be David Allen or Stephen Covey or the Pomodoro system. But hope is not a strategy. You know, working heroically and working harder and trying to, if I work, just I work another 20 hours a week, then I can catch up and then everything will be okay. That is not a strategy. So as long as you pick one and make it work for you, and if it doesn't work, pick something else, then I think that we'll be all right. But thanks for helping me out with the show today, Ray. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me on the show. This has been great.
All right. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.